Thank you, Mary.
Amen. Track Club, Flyers Club, and King's Kids can be dismissed at this time. I missed it.
I told them, you know, they're all the way over there.
Yeah, they want to stay very far away from you all.
I think they do.
I don't know if it's because of sickness or other stuff.
I think they admitted they're lazy.
Oh.
I said, I don't
want to
walk away.
You act like you've worked all day. Amen. Yep, it is good to be here tonight. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. I do apologize. I may speak a little slower tonight. I may not raise my voice as much tonight because I don't want to hack and gag in front of you. But tonight we'll be in Matthew chapter 4, looking at verses 1 through 11, thinking about how to thrive in the wilderness. And initially, as I had that title, I had how to survive in the wilderness. But as children of God, God wants us to do more than just survive, even in hard times. See, that's selling God short, thinking, well, he can get us through, but he can't help us to thrive even in the midst of our struggles and our sicknesses and our pain. But yes, he can. That's what God wants to do. He wants to mold us and shape us and make us better even in times such as we're in right now. And that's why I changed that from how to survive to how to thrive in the wilderness. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture, but I want to look at it in a little different light tonight. Still in context, still fitting the outline, but just applying it to kind of what we're going through right now. How through this to thrive in it. I don't want to thrive after. Well, I want to thrive now. God's got a plan for me to grow right now, or he wouldn't have me in the position that I'm in. Same thing for you. And tonight we'll see how we can do that. But we see in our text, Matthew chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Brother Steve, would you pray for us? Amen. So the first thing I want to look at tonight, and we'll move fairly quickly to make sure we have plenty of time for prayer. But the first thing I want to look at tonight in our text first is one chapter prior, is the phenomenon, or what I mean is the instance of a great move of God, where God did something special. And we see this pattern a lot throughout the Word of God. We see God move in a very special, a very powerful, a very visual way, and then shortly after that become some trials or battles or struggles or temptations in the Word of God. And that's exactly what we see here in the life of Christ. We see in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, we see what the Bible says there. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we see here one of the biggest moments in the life of Christ, that the greatest validation of God, of the ministry of Christ, just a great, powerful move of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are seen in these verses right here before us. God did something special there. And as I was thinking about that move of God, I've been thinking about, in relation to this text and this thought tonight, what God's been doing here. Just a few short weeks ago, we had the privilege of hosting the football team. As far as we know, 8 to 10 young men gave their hearts to Christ. That's a miracle. God did something special there. Then the very next night, we had a movie night. We had 60-plus people here. That was amazing to see God do that, and people showing up and enjoying themselves. Just a great time of fellowship. And then the following Sunday, and over the past few weeks, outside of when we've had sickness, we've been packed out. God's doing something special. I believe God wants to do even greater things than what we've seen. But maybe God wants to grow us before we get there. Maybe that's why we're in the wilderness right now. Maybe that's why we're in the struggle right now. And sometimes it may not be too fun to be in it, but God's got a plan in it. And that plan is not to make us miserable, but to make us more like Jesus. Maybe God's refining us, preparing us for the great things we have in the future. But will we be in a state of mind, in a spiritual place where God can do what he wants to prepare us for that time? So we see the phenomenon there, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. But now we see the plan in verses 1 and 2 of our text. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Did you know sometimes God either causes or allows, but is in control of all things to happen in our lives that may not be necessarily good? We know Job, right? Now, God allowed that. We know that. God didn't cause it. God allowed it. But God either causes or allows everything, especially in the life of a Christian. And sometimes those things, Jesus, as we know, remember he fed the 5,000. Great thing. What did he say? Get in the ship, go to the other side. They didn't know, but he did. They was about to go through a storm. See, sometimes God's plan doesn't always involve a bed of roses and things for everything to be easy and no struggle and no trials. Because in trials and in pain, when we're in the fire, that's when we can be molded the most. We see the plan. It says here that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That word tempted means to make proof of, to attempt, to test, to tempt. Sometimes God puts us through things. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. About did there. So we see the plan. The plan was struggle. God's plan for Jesus there was a struggle. He was going into the wilderness, be without food for 40 days, 40 nights, and to be tested by the devil. Be tempted by the devil. So the plan was struggle. And what does that struggle involve for Jesus there in the text and for you and me in our lives? The Bible says, it says, for all that is in the world, that's in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see the plan was struggle. And I want, as we look at that, sometimes that there may be physical conflict. That's what we got right now. Sick people all over the place. It's a time of testing. It's a time of trial. It's a time of refinement. We see in that verse, not only can it be, it said, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, so material temptation, but not only material and the pride of life, positional. I mean, that's what everybody wants in this world now, power, right? Everybody wants position, prestige, power. Those are the areas that we will be tempted. And in the instance we're looking at, the plan was struggle. So the plan was struggle, but the plan was also to show three things. In the text before us, the plan was, I believe, to show who Jesus was. I mean, and I want everybody to understand here, Jesus was tempted by the devil, but Jesus could not sin. It's not that he was tempted to see if he would sin. Jesus could not sin. It's not like there was a chance here that he would. But just because you know the answers to a test doesn't make it any less a test, correct? So we see here, we get to see the Son of God on display. We see who he is, but in when we think of struggles and trials and wildernesses and storms in our lives, and I kind of talked about this on Sunday, sometimes God puts us in that to show where we are at spiritually. What did he say in the Old Testament? Remember, Israel didn't get rid of the enemies that they were told to destroy. We talked about this the other day. Then God said, I'm going to leave them to test you, to see where your heart's at, to see if you are going to trust me. And sometimes God allows things in our life just to see where we're at or to show us where we're at. Sometimes we don't know where we're at spiritually until we're put to the fire. Then we see how much we need to grow. Then we get our priorities straight. So we see in this text who he is. Sometimes in storms of life, we see where we're at. And sometimes we are put in wildernesses, struggles, storms to show others how to handle struggles. That's why Jesus was put in this struggle. Notice Jesus didn't handle this temptation as God, although he was God. He did it in a manner like we should. And sometimes maybe God puts us through things so that we can show others how to handle those things, just as he did Jesus in this instance. That's why we've got to, when we get in times of trouble and sickness such as this, we've got to stop and say, God, help me to learn what you want me to learn in this. God, help me to be what you want me to be in this. God, help me to be the example to someone that needs to see me struggle in this way so that they can know how to handle their own struggle. You say, well, why do I got to go through sickness, or why do I have to go through pain or this trial to show them that? Because maybe you're the only person that would catch their eye enough to see how to do it right, to see Jesus in that pain, in that sadness. And I know it's no fun going through sickness or struggles, but God has a plan in it, and we're going to talk about that now. So the plan was struggle. The plan was to show who he was, where we are at, and others how to handle struggles. But in the life of a child of God, the plan is always to sanctify, to make us more like Jesus. Everything that happens in our life, good, bad, ugly, sad, struggle, storm, temptation, sin, Everything that happens in our life is to make us more like Jesus. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, all things. The sickness, loss of family members, loss of job, loss of this or that, or temptation or trial, all things work together for good. And we're going to see what that good is here in just a moment. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So He's putting us through what we're going through, whatever it may be, to make us look more like Jesus. And if it wouldn't make us look more like Christ as His child, then He wouldn't put us through it. That is the good. All things work together for good. And the good is to make us more like Jesus. So maybe when we're in our trouble, we need to pray, God, make me more like Jesus through this. And sometimes becoming more like Jesus means probably suffering more. I mean, Jesus suffered worse than anybody has ever suffered. Then it goes on to say, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called them, and whom He called them, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Thank God, we're in heaven in God's eyes, and I cannot wait to get there. My, oh my, now I'm not in a hurry in regards to, I mean, God's got us here because He's got work for us to do, but I very much look forward to going to heaven, to seeing Jesus, to getting rid of all this sickness, to seeing the loved ones that I've lost. I look forward to that day when we're in perfection, don't you? Nothing to worry about. No news to watch and get mad or get sad. Nothing to look at on social media and just get depressed. We can just look at our Lord for all eternity and worship and praise Him. And thank God in His eyes we're already there. If we're His child, He sees the finished work. And I praise the Lord for that. So we see the phenomenon, we see the plan. And we see number three, the prescription. How do we thrive in the midst of the wilderness, which is the plan of God for us? Now, as we see in our text, and I won't read it, but you know here, every time Satan comes with a temptation, what does Jesus say? It is written. Thus says the Lord. So the key to thriving in the wilderness, whether we like it or not, any self-help books? The Bible. If Jesus used it to get through His wilderness temptation here, that's exactly what we need to use. Four things we need to do with the Word if we're going to thrive in the wilderness. And the first one goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyways, study. Diligent study, time spent in the Word. And all we're doing is, I guess I could have put storing that up in your heart. We got to store it in our hearts. We got to get it in us so when trials come, when storms come, when wildernesses come, we'll be like Jesus, and what will flow out will be the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit can bring back to our mind things that we can cling to, we can trust, or we can fight with. And that's what we're going to talk about in a second. So we got to study the Word of God, also through supplication. Remember, that's the power source. The Word is the information. Prayer is the power source. Ask God to enable us to be obedient to what His Word says, to trust what His Word says, to fight the devil with what His Word says. See, like I said the other day, the best intentions mean nothing without the grace of God. We need to beg God to enable us to do whatever this book tells us to do. We need to beg God to enable us to trust whatever this book says to us. We need to beg God to enable us to fight the devil with what the Bible says. That's what Jesus did. So through study, through supplication. And here's something that kind of made me snicker when I put it, but it fits. Through snuggling. Yes, snuggling. With the Word. What's that mean? To draw or press closely against. As for comfort. Or for affection. When we get in a time of trial, you know what can bring us the most comfort? You know why the devil doesn't want you in this? He knows when things get hard, if you've got this, and you just snuggle up real tight with what God has said to you, it doesn't matter what storm you're in. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The Holy Spirit within you rises up and gives you peace. I know it's a
We need to let it bring us comfort.
That's why the devil doesn't want us in it, because he knows when we get in trials and then we cling to the Word, it'll give us peace. And instead of us getting discouraged and destroyed in times of sickness, we can be a light in the darkness. So study, supplication, snuggling, and swinging. What I mean by that is fighting with it. That's what Jesus did here, right? Jesus didn't punch the devil in the nose, although I wish he would have. I don't think it would have been a sin to do so. Jesus just used the Word. Jesus fought with the Word. It's the only weapon we have. Check the armor of God. The only weapon we have is the Word. Why do you think the devil doesn't want us to know it? Why do you think so many Christians are unable to fight? Because they don't have a sword. We need to know our Bibles. The prescription is study, supplication, snuggling, and swinging. That's the prescription. And here's the product. Excuse me. Verse 11. So Jesus fought with the Word. Then look what happens. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So what's the product of using the Word correctly, allowing it to bring you comfort, using it to fight against the attacks of the devil? First, we see the product is retreat of the devil. See, that's why a lot of us struggle so much when we're in sickness or sadness or whatever it may be, is because we allow the devil to hang around. Why do you think we worry? Why do you think we fear? Why do you think we doubt? Because we're not resisting the devil. You can have peace in the midst of your pain. Just get the devil out of it. Got to fight against him. Jesus resisted him with the Word. The Bible says, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's how we resist him. The Bible. You resist the devil with the Word of God when you're in the midst of struggles. The struggle itself may not go away, but the devil will, and you can have peace. And that's the next thing. So there will be retreat, but there will also be rest. Now, it doesn't mean whatever you're going through is going to go away. Because I'm not God. I don't know His will. I wish I could go to everyone. I wish I could heal them. I wish I could take all their pains and their problems away, but I can't do that. But I can tell them about one who can give them peace in the midst of their pain if they will let him. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect, complete, absolute peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. You want to have peace? Stay your mind on Jesus. You want to stay your mind on Jesus? Get in the Bible. To Jesus' book. Genesis to Revelation, it's all about him. So we see there will be retreat. There will be rest. And here's the shocker. There will be rise. What I mean, growth. See, most people think when we go through a hard time that it's just normal for Christians to have a spiritual decline because we're sick, we're sad, we're struggling. And I'm not trying to downplay any of those things, but we'll get back up when it's all over. No, we can grow and get better in the midst of our pain if we'll do it right by God's grace. That's what God wants to do. He wants to grow us. Look what the Bible says, Romans 5:3-5. And not only so, listen at this. But we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience or endurance. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. trials grow. I mean, the result of a trial, if by God's grace we do it right in the midst of it, is increased faith. Because it says, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. God wants to grow your faith, especially in the midst of hard times. That sounds crazy. There's a lot of paradoxical things in the Bible that make no sense to the world. But God wants to grow us the most when it is the hardest. God wants us to thrive in the wilderness. He doesn't want us to come out of the wilderness limping and then get right back where we need to be with God. He wants us to come out of the wilderness on fire for Him, having an increased faith, seeing Him be faithful to what His Word said. God wants us to thrive in the wilderness. But that's why we need to saturate ourselves in this book. Snuggle with this book. I love that thought. Swing this book, not the literal book. Don't go popping anybody with your actual Bible, but the Word of God against the devil. God wants us to thrive in the wilderness. And we do so through study, supplication, snuggling, and swinging with the Word. May God help us. I know that outline's a little funny, but when you remember, I hope. But God wants us to thrive, even in the midst of the hard times we're going through, even right now. I know it's probably been worse, and it's probably going to get worse, and at times, it's a little tough right now. But God wants to grow us. God wants us to be better. God wants us to come out of this in stride. We just need to beg Him to help us to do so. Beg Him to help us to become what He wants us to in the midst of this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word and how it can help us, how it can give us peace, how we can use it to resist the devil just as You did. How, God, it can cause us to grow spiritually, even and especially in the midst of our pain and our struggles and our trials of life. Lord Jesus, I love You. I know, Lord, it's been tough for many people, my family included, over these past few days. But as I said Sunday, it's been better than I deserve. I thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. I pray You'd help me to grow even in the midst of this wilderness. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.